Morning, everybody, and welcome. It's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Glad you're with us. Last year, on April 27th, a spasm of violence, looting, arson, gripped Baltimore. It came to be called variably the riots or the uprising. Reporter Mary Wiltenberg spent the following year interviewing people who were on the ground that day. We begin this morning hearing from those people. In April 2016, as we mark the first anniversary of the uprising, Mary joined me in the studio. So, Mary, you talked to a whole lot of folks, didn't you?
Tom, I did. It was more than four dozen, over 100 hours of interviews with just a cross-section of Baltimoreans who were involved in some way. There were high school and college kids, police, firefighters, teachers, gang members, drug dealers, public defenders, city officials. Also, through a Public Information Act request, I got this tremendous archive of recordings from the main police radio channels that day. And, you know, hearing what police were saying to each other as events unfolded really makes the whole picture even more vivid and emotional.
Yeah, we haven't heard much of that in the past. What did you learn?
Almost everything I thought I knew about that day turned out to be wrong.
Turned out to be wrong. In what way?
You know, everything from who was out on the streets and why to why police responded the way they did. I mean, one good example is the question of who ordered public transportation to shut down as violence erupted near Mondawmin Mall.
Yeah, that was a huge deal, wasn't it?
Yeah. 5,000 school kids transfer there every day on their way home, and many of them wound up caught in the path of violence. A lot of people I talked to said that shutdown must have been planned ahead of time. When, in fact, police radio and interviews with city officials make clear it was an in-the-moment request made repeatedly by a bunch of different officers on the ground, and that shutdown took over an hour to implement. So there was no police plot to do that, you know, any more than there was a gang plot to kill police officers.
Right, and police were suggesting that that was certainly the case at the time. Right.
Yeah. Or even there wasn't a plot by kids to purge at the mall either. It was all just much more messy and reactive and scared than that. I'll let them tell it from here.
They put on social media, they put our school in Douglas. Yeah, at when Douglas get out, the riot gonna start. It's going down, all that other stuff.
This how it all went down.
That's all.
So when the information came out in reference to the purge, Colonel Hyatt, then Lieutenant Colonel Hyatt, pulled me up and said, hey, can you go to Mondawmin instead? So, you know, I said, okay, I didn't think it would be the issue that my dog.
My classroom phone's ringing, and I'm getting, send him home, he's going home for the day, send him home with the stuff, send him home with the stuff, all right, cool. I send them home, bell rings, next class comes in. Eight kids, usually 20. We had been through an administration change, and our discipline was very light at that point. We were struggling with a lot within the building. So kids walked out, and had we kept the kids in, could we have physically kept the kids in school? I don't think so. A lot of the kids were leaving because they didn't want to be there. They were afraid. And you can't tell kids you must stay till 4 when you're afraid for whatever may happen in your community because of this.
We saw a helicopter and stuff, but that was before the riot even started. When we start, when we was walking out, you know, when you leave out, you cross the street, boom, the steps, go up the steps, the catwalk right there. It's already about 45 officers right there with shields. We get past the catwalk, the officers start walking behind us. Boom, we see everything get to going down. The people start knocking down the gate. Boom, the gate going down. I think you know, all the armored trucks get to coming. Armored trucks coming, the helicopter start, the helicopter come at them.
And as the kids started coming across the bridge, the school police officers from Douglas High School, we're talking to the kids from Douglas. They already have interaction. They already know each other. And then from the other side of the street, some people come up. And these weren't school kids. This was a guy that, you know, looked like he was about 20, 25 years old. And he starts yelling at the school police, leave him alone. Why are you messing with them? You know, y'all gonna do that? Do what you did to Freddie to us? He gets the kids riled up. It was like they wanted that. They wanted to be riled up. They were waiting for something. And all of a sudden, the guy throws his hands up, and he's like, hands up, don't shoot. And then the rest of the kids started doing it. It was like a wave. It went through that whole crowd of people, from the front all the way to the back of that crowd, maybe 30, 40, 50 kids. Hands up, don't shoot. Hands up, don't shoot. So at that point, I tell the school police, hey, back off. Let's just go stand by the van. You know, if we're not the show, then they'll disperse. But this guy just kept going. And then he stepped back and the kid started taking over. It just became its own thing. And hands up, don't shoot, hands up. And they started coming towards us. So at that point, I turn around, I look at the sergeant that's in the van. I'm like, let's go. So they get out the van. They line up behind me because I don't want them going into the mall. And then all of a sudden, a rock comes flying over. So I dodge, and then a bottle, and then pebbles. So I tell them to go put your helmets on. Go put your helmets on.
Listen, Montgomery Mall, helmets on now. Montgomery Mall, helmets on now.
We're going to need more, Montgomery. We're going to need more, Montgomery.
Copy, we're getting you some help. Give us a second.
I came out of my school. I was already with it. I'm like, this my time. I'm getting tired of getting harassed just because I'm walking down the street. They want to pull me over. So when I got my opportunity, I took it. First rock I picked up, I threw it. I ain't even gonna lie. Police fell. I hit him with the rock. You feel me? Took his hat, put his hat on. Street rocked his hat for the rest of the parade. But when I came out of school, I was already with it. Like, it ain't no thought thinking about it. I'm just thinking about all the times they locked up.
They just did a school dirty, and they don't care about us and all that.
All right, we have incoming debris. Incoming debris on the line.
Taking a lot of debris here.
Can you call MTA and tell them to cease the route coming to Mondom, and they're still coming down, unloading kids that are joining this crowd?
Actually got off at the 5, got off the 5, actually all the way in the corner because the police that stopped everything that day. They said no buses, no nothing could come down here. And then we walked all the way down. We see people running down. They like, don't go down there, it's tear gas. You see smoke, all you see is phew, woo, woo, like 10 police cars just right now. So like, I gotta go see this.
We need jails down here, we're getting creamed. 600, I'm about to deploy. The kids with the pepper ball guns, we're getting destroyed over here with these rocks and stuff. I'm about to deploy them.
Let's start spraying them with the pepper foggers. We have PG County, Montgomery County's on their way. Start spraying them. 10-4.
It was like a war. They humming them back. Yeah. Some officers was humming them back, and they sergeants was like, stop, stop, stop. One rock hit my foot. I'm like, oh yeah, y'all really want to get it started? So I start getting rocks and start humming them. Get my soda, take a little break, and back to the rock.
We pushed them up the hill. Pushed them up the hill not knowing that a house had just fallen down or was in disrepair. And there were chunks of concrete and all kinds of stuff that we ended up pushing them into ammunition, trying to disperse them. So as we're pushing up the street, they're throwing. The guys are like, you know, I'm going to go get them. I said, no, just stay right here until we can get something. And I guess if you listen to the radio transmissions, you hear me yelling for whatever I can get. Pepper foggers, and I think I said some stuff I shouldn't have said, but it felt like I was in a war. So as we pushed up the street, a cinder block comes over the line, bounces off the ground, and hits Captain Conaway in his groin. He doubles over. I'm like, wow. I don't have a helmet on. Then I see an officer go down to my left.
600, that's gas. That's gas that's been deployed by us. I need a medic down on the lot. I need a medic on the lot, on the bottom of the MTA lot. I'm back evacuating all my injured officers over here.
I was just like humming them like, this one gonna be the one. I'm just seeing how far I can throw it. I'm just like, they had shields, so I'm trying to put it on a dome. So I'm just floating them like this, and sometimes, like if they're far, I'm beaming at them. Like, I get a big brick, I set my own fort so nobody won't touch them. I get a big brick it, boom. I had like four, you feel me? Don't nobody touch them. I'm dealing with all four of these. Pick out one, and hurry up. Because when I throw one, they already backing it forward, so I hurry up and pick up another one. Smack! He's giving it to him.
Big brick. Boom. They try to run over my man. I'm like, oh yeah. One of the big armor blue trucks. I straight hum that joint. Boom. Hit that joint. Boom.
They was spraying mace out the armor trucks. I ain't never seen them trucks a day in my life. They straight spraying mace out of them.
Officers, go down. Can we have some mace? It's a big ass.
All right, sir, be advised, I got medics coming your way.
Give it the air. And at that point, I was so upset.
that I was like, I was about to say, and I felt like, you know, like Custer, I was about to say charge, and we were about to, and I was about to tell him to run and just go at these kids. But then I think to myself, those are my son. My son is 17. That's what, and my 11-year-old, because there were kids there that were that age. So how do you rush these kids with these sticks? What do you do when you get up on them? We're not going to hit them because they're kids. So I knew that I couldn't do that. So at that point, I'm like, all right, let's step it back. Let's hold the mall. Just hold the mall.
Single 13. Single 13, watch out.
West Brian Woodbrook, single 13, West Brian Woodbrook.
Let's go, they're coming to the mall. Back out to Liberty. Back out to Racist Town.
One officer came back down the hill with just the arm, the grip of the shield. The whole shield was gone. And he was in such shock that he didn't drop it. He still had it on his arm. And he's like looking at me, and I'm looking at him like, throw it down. You just throw it down. He's looking at me like, I said, just drop it. And he drops it.
It did release some of my anger, though. That's all it was. The whole Baltimore was just furious. A lot of people didn't even know Freddie Gray, but all that stuff that was going on and all the other cities, it happened in Baltimore. And Baltimore wasn't going for
Voices from the Uprising. We heard two students from Frederick Douglass High School who identified themselves as Hot Rod and Luke, plus Major Mark Partee of the Baltimore Police Department, Douglass High School civics teacher Jesse Schneiderman, and college student Mo Jackson. They spoke with reporter Mary Wiltenberg. It's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Stay with us.